News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. On Mobile Mornings, we are turning up your voice this hour, 251-343-0106. That also is the text line, of course. So if you want to text us about anything, let us know.
Yeah, a little later in the hour, I want to get into what we started last hour. Dangerous things you did as a kid that kids these days just, you wouldn't find them doing it. And I have a story from my childhood that resulted in some broken teeth. I'm sure, Dan, you have a story also, at least one.
I've got two different activities that I would involve myself in on an incredibly regular basis. And you're going to say, you were doing what? But, yeah, so we'll get into that.
And we're seeing some texts already. So text those in. We'll talk about that on the way. Plus, we'll discuss, the latest goings-on regarding the Mar-a-Lago raid by the FBI last week. A lot from the Trump administration, or at least the lawyers for Trump speaking out over the weekend. But we're still not hearing a whole lot from the DOJ or the FBI regarding that case, so we'll get into that. But Dan and I were just talking about the story from Fox 10 over the weekend. I think this aired Friday, as new mock-ups for what's being planned for the Mobile Civic Center property. Now, Dale Leash, at the end of July with Lanyap, posted a story kind of, hinting at some things that would be coming up for that Civic Center property. Sean had Dale on to discuss this on Midday Mobile. And Dale wrote at the time, a possible $125 million rehabilitation of the Civic Center arena could begin soon, with a proposed land lease of a portion of the surface parking lot at the edge of the 22-acre property. And now that we're seeing these mock-ups, it looks like this six-story office building they're planning on building for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and they would lease this portion of the Civic Center property. The city would lease that to the Army Corps of Engineers, the government that would be, I don't know who would be building it. Would it be built using city funds, or what exactly this six-story building?
Sounds like there's a tie, Dalton, between the lease and the money that's going to go into refurbishing the Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something about $125 million?
Yes, so a $125 million rehabilitation of the Civic Center arena. So this is what they've been kind of, tossing around with this company Populous, who'd been hired by the council to make these mock-ups and talk about some possible renovations, exactly what the plans would be, because we know that they're not filling up the Civic Center arena anymore. I was just there, I guess, at the end of last month in the Civic Center theater to watch that Paw Patrol thing, and it was full. They did two nights. I don't know if both nights were full, but at least some of those events that they're hosting in the Civic Center theater, I know, have been filling the theater up. It's a different story when you're talking about the entire
Civic Center the arena itself. So I think the arena is not outfitted in a way that can hold many modern concerts.
Right. They just don't have the infrastructure to hold those huge stacks of speakers that these touring acts need.
So, okay, so the last time I remember, there was Carrie Underwood. She kicked off her tour here. It's almost like a secret. And then Elton John's been there a few times. This is years ago, though. So evidently, we had some country concerts there, too, in 2001, 2, 3, 5, whatever, up to Carrie's around 2008, and Big and Rich. So I guess we had what we needed then. I don't know that we have what we need now. Another thing, Yankee Stadium, you've got the new Yankee Stadium now. But actually, the old Yankee Stadium was renovated, not torn down, and the Yankees had to play a couple of years at Shea Stadium where the Mets play.
Mm.
And that was because they were renovating Yankee Stadium. They were not, the old structure was kind of gutted in a way, and then brought back. It cost a lot of money, but they just thought that Yankee Stadium itself had had this aura about it. They didn't want to, you know, had to remain the same. It was fine. It was good. It removed all the posts that kept you from seeing the action if you were in the wrong spot, you know. So it modernized it. This was about 1974 and 5. It modernized it. I guess it did what it needed to do until now the brand new Yankee Stadium was built in 2010 or whatever. So what I'm wondering is, are we going to gut that thing? And what is it going to look like?
Right.
The arena itself, how is it going to change? How's it going to be more modernized, more comfortable, and serve the purposes of bringing in concerts and shows and whatever else?
And there's also been talk of kind of building a little city on its own down there, right?
Right.
And you mentioned, to keep this theme going, the Braves' new stadium in the area outside it called The Battery.
It's awesome.
A bunch of different restaurants and shops and things to do.
Because hotels.
They moved it out from where it used to be.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the direction they're heading here with this Civic Center property, or at least it was the last time that these big discussions were going on.
And the conversation point that we've had over and over again is the Braves have got 82 home games every year.
Yeah.
So people are coming down there for that, you know, 30, 40,000 at a time. Whereas what would draw people to the Civic Center to have those and support those other businesses?
So even if the Civic Center arena was retrofitted, had all the infrastructure necessary to bring in, you know, Lady Gaga or some major act, would we be able to have enough people there that the city is at least breaking even, right?
We've gotten so used to going to the Wharf, so used to going to Pensacola or Biloxi.
Mm-hmm.
We've just kind of gotten used to that drive. And what would bring people back downtown for these shows?
So this next big discussion is coming tomorrow. I think the zoning... So tomorrow, a city council committee will hear a presentation from Populous, that company I talked about, from their architects, about two redevelopment options, and they're going to give out initial cost estimates. I apologize. The firm also will show conceptual layouts of how the overall project could further develop based on approval of rezoning the site. Then you have the Planning Commission, who will have a public hearing this Thursday on the proposal for the site, and that would create a special district for the Civic Center site. Now, looking at this mock-up just of the six-story office building, which they said would be multi-use, so we know that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers would be interested in moving there, but I guess they would rent out offices to other potential businesses as well. That it's right there on the southeast quadrant of the current Civic Center parking lot.
So, almost like you're right at the ramp to get on the interstate.
Yeah,
it's still
so
there.
If you're heading east on 10 and, you know, it kind of turns north before you go into the Wallace Tunnel, you would look out over your left.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of the parking lot, that's where this would go, right there at Canal and Claiborne. And they would also build these extra roads. So one road would cut basically from Canal north directly towards the Civic Center, cutting the parking lot in half. Then you would have another parking lot, another road between where the office building would be built and this new parking garage, because this would basically decimate the amount of parking available currently on Civic Center property,
right,
which in reality, it's used not that often that whole lot is full. But they would build a parking garage, a 1,000-car parking garage for employees and the public. That would sit just north of this new building that they're putting in. And then there would be roads, a road between it, and then another road between the Civic Center itself and the parking garage. Your options right now for parking downtown, you have that one garage that is right there between the Holiday Inn, right,
and the Admiral.
You have another one connected to this convention center with that overwalk, of course. One more parking garage.
You got one underneath the convention center.
That's right, underneath the convention center.
You have one across the street and with the overwalk or the path, you know, the bridge, and then you've got one more near the Social Security building.
That's right, yes.
There's one near there, too, which is a little bit closer to Broad Street.
So there aren't we aren't flush with parking options
and
in
you've
downtown
got,
Mobile.
You've got other quick, you know, you've got lots as well, you know. They're not the best looking thing, but they serve the purpose. Lots that are where buildings were cleared out, and they're, these parking lots, you can park with the app, you know, the parking app, and you're good to go. You got them just to the north of downtown.
Yes. So Matthew texted in. He says that building would be 100% for the Army Corps of Engineers, but like was mentioned in the story, the parking garage would be multi-use for employees mm-hmm. there or people who are, I guess, just trying to get around downtown. Pretty interesting. Would love to hear your thoughts on the phones or text line. What do you think should be done with the Civic Center? Do you like kind of the direction that this plan is heading? It doesn't look like they're going to completely do away with the event centers that are available to us now with the Civic Center arena and the theater underneath. But would you like to see more food? Do you think that would be successful, putting some extra restaurants there? There's going to be plenty more discussion about this starting this week with some of these committee council meetings, but a pretty interesting mock-up that they now have as they work towards that this week.
Here's what I find interesting to me, because I'm very interested in all, you know, any kind of construction downtown. It kind of gets my interest a little bit, and this is a big project. But I haven't seen any mock-ups of the Civic Center arena itself. That's what I'm wondering. What are we doing? And then we'll talk about the ancillary stuff outside. That can be its own discussion. But what are they going to? How are they going to recreate the arena, Civic Center, and I guess in a way give us as Mobilians like a nice arena that you would want to go to,
mm-hmm.
a customer or a fan experience that you're like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
we're in this century, because that arena was built, I'm sure, right around 1970 or so. It's been around a long time,
and it's almost like, you know, some athlete who's in a slump. You know, the last few big projects have really struggled here recently. Big projects for events that you want fans to come to, whether it's the Bay Bears, or we used to have so many events there at the Civic Center. Will they be able to, you know, hit a home run here?
Turn it around.
Get back on the winning side.
Yeah, turn it around.
I guess we'll see.
It's 18 after 8. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. 8:23 on Mobile Mornings. And got some texts coming in about the proposal on the property where the Civic Center is right now.
Yeah, the office building and the 1,000-car parking garage. Bayman says, it's not the government's job to entertain me. Government needs to provide security, infrastructure, and protect the freedoms and liberties of the individual. Government's job is not to entertain me by providing a new venue at a Civic Center. Jason says, if they do end up putting restaurants on that property, like has been discussed in the past, he says they should be locally owned restaurants. So Jason doesn't want to see like a Fuddruckers come in or mm-hmm. some big franchise moving into the Civic Center property.
TGI Wednesday.
TGI. Gus says, Mobile is a dying city. Why should the people of Baldwin County pay to cross the bridge and then pay to see an event? Well, you know, even when the bridge is built, you don't necessarily have to pay to cross it, but we've had the toll conversation already plenty, and we'll continue to have it more. Jessica, for her part, she wants to hear more about your injury as you were walking around South Alabama. Maybe later in the hour we'll get to that.
There's not much to get to, really. I got a text also, an unnamed texter, listening to the show, Civic Center project seems like no one has a plan. And so city is offloading project to let the feds pay for it. Not a fan.
Mm.
Okay. So anyway, thank you for the text.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And we'll continue to read those throughout the hour. 251-343-0106. What do you think should be done with that property? And speaking of downtown, I saw this from Lanyap. Actually, quite a few were reporting this after ALDOT and the city of Mobile had a joint press conference last week. So I think the first lights that they synced up in Mobile, first traffic lights, were here on Airport, right? Basically from 65 down to, I think they went past University,
Yeah, maybe to Hillcrest.
Yeah, and I've got to say, you know, maybe during the day or during peak hours, that works well. When you're driving down Airport in the morning, it seems like you catch every light still. Or at least maybe that's just me.
Yeah, well, that's really frustrating when there's not many people on the road, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there and you're waiting, and you're waiting for what, you know? Yeah,
exactly. And they did the same on Government Street. So basically from the Bankhead all the way to Broad Street, they upgraded and installed smart signal equipment at 13 traffic signals. They even went ahead and used fiber optic cables equipped with batteries. So say there's a hurricane, these lights, the way I read it, these lights should be able to continue to work during some natural disaster. This took 3.5 years, $1.3 million to get all of these lights acting in order. And the reason they called this presser last week is because while they've had the project rolled out since May, it's improved Government Street traffic by 21% and during peak periods has improved traffic by 26%.
Yeah, Government Street is a problem. It's a problem on the weekends, and I guess beginning Thursday, Friday, Saturday, trying to get in that tunnel, that's where a lot of people who have gotten off of I-10, maybe their GPS takes them there or whatever, but that's where they are, and suddenly all of this traffic on what used to be pretty quiet street on the weekend. That boulevard was pretty docile on the weekend. And now, if you're coming back this way, Dalton, you're coming out of the tunnel from the Eastern Shore, mm-hmm. you can see that traffic is backed up like you can't, like, wow.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? And it's people who've gotten off of I-10. Now, is this addressing that problem? I don't know, because that is the biggest problem I see on Government. We're talking about traffic where they're all in intersections where they're blocking you trying to get onto the street mm-hmm. now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're near the tunnel and on one of those side streets and it's 5 p.m., good luck getting on.
Good luck getting in.
Government Street.
Yeah.
It gets insane.
But now, the people from Texas are not the most courteous. They're like, we drove a long way to get here, and you stay where you are.
So Mayor Sandy Stimson said during that press conference that he rode, or maybe he drove, I don't know, and they took Government from downtown to Sage Avenue. He said it was green lights all the way. He said we didn't even have to turn on the blue lights to do that. That shows you what synchronization can do. And I guess because these lights are all linked via fiber optic internet, that if there is a heavy traffic period or an accident or whatever may occur, that they are able to change the the length of times that those lights work, whether it's red for a certain amount of time or green for a certain amount of time.
Just for the record, where does Sage and Government, where's that interchange? I think Sage ends at closer to Airport or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, maybe then to turn on to Airport from Government, you veer right and you go up Airport. So I'm not sure, but you say Government all the way up past Midtown, but I don't believe Sage Avenue ever comes close to Government.
Backstrap says it's not just me. The lights early in the morning on Airport are horrible. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the worst one may be Airport, and Azalea's pretty bad, but you get a little further down, maybe it's downtowner, and you're just waiting.
What am I waiting on?
Generally, Dan is waiting on me as I'm sitting there at the light.
That's no problem.
Rough stuff there. Fred.
I just get here so early because, again, thinking is hard for me. we went over that last hour.
So Fred commenting on one of our three big things. We had Jeff Poore in Montgomery for the GOP convention over the weekend.
Yeah.
As they were discussing a lot of the issues that will come up during the next legislative session. And it sure looks like they're close to closing primaries going forward. Republicans have to vote in Republican primaries, Democrats in Democrat primaries. Fred says that will take all of the debate out of primary voting days. Now, I understand what he means here, just because you're not actually getting debates very often among Republicans or Democrats. We saw some Democrat debates. But Fred said he'll just go fishing now that the primaries will be closed. It'll be pretty straightforward, he believes, as we move ahead.
830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, daring things you did as a kid. We'll talk about that coming up.
835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Have a big week ahead of us and a big week at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. I was just walking around the shop back there, and air conditioning's flowing in the shop. All the technicians are happy and smiling and working on people's vehicles. And, hey, and think about the body shop back there, mm-hmm. too. They're working, and working away. If you have that unfortunate accident, come see us up front or check us out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at diesels. I'm looking at three-quarter tons. I'm looking at half tons, Denalis, just anything you want. Check it out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, the selection is just unreal, and you're also buying vehicles from the customers.
That's right. Gene and Tommy will buy just about anything. In fact, they're looking at one right now. So just give them a call, 251-476-4141. Give them the VIN and the miles, and they'll give you a price right over the phone.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and, of course, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:36. And we want to talk about our daring exploits as kids.
Yeah. First, I want to get to some of these texts regarding the Civic Center property. Bill says, I believe the Civic Center property needs to be reserved for entertainment and tourism activities. A business/government building can be built over by the old federal courthouse. We already have a messed up entertainment district plan after the state docks expansion. That's from Bill. Another unnamed texter, says maybe they could make it into a covered water park and make some of the rooms to educate the kids about the history of Mobile, the Constitution, how a bill gets passed, more things for our children to learn about how our government should work for the people and things here in Alabama like wildlife. And, speaking of these new mock-ups of the Civic Center, also saw some drawings of the proposed Aquatic Center coming up on Halls Mill behind the soccer fields. And that thing, if it's built the way they're making it look, it's big. And that comes on the heels of a swimmer from Saraland, who competed in the latest Summer Olympics.
Went to UMS.
UMS, yeah. Not Saraland.
Yeah.
So, maybe Mobile is the home of Olympic swimmers, and we just had no idea to this point.
That's not a bad point. Kids have had nowhere to swim around here, really. I think Bishop State is like the one pool that they all have been using.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. If how would we know that if we had great swimmers here with a lack of facilities? We may be sitting on a gold mine of swimming talent, but we haven't figured that out yet because we haven't given them the opportunity to excel.
Yeah, but that's going over on Halls Mill. I wonder how much. Well, if they have events planned for that specifically, then maybe people would make it over there. I've already heard traffic nightmares from people trying to travel up or down Halls Mill, especially if there's been raining because the water pools so quickly on Halls Mill.
Mm-hmm.
But issues getting around the traffic of people, I guess, pulling in there to the soccer arenas.
I've got to get out there and see that, but I haven't been there yet. And if I passed it, then I didn't even realize what it was.
So we were talking about injuries sustained or dangerous things you did as a kid, because there's this story from Australia. Now, I've always loved Australia. What was the movie with Paul Hogan, the crocodile hunter, I guess? Or I always get him confused with the actual crocodile hunter himself. But Australia has always seemed to be a few decades behind America as far as liberalization goes. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of backwoods, lots of rednecks in Australia, kind of like lots of rural America.
Gun laws, too.
Gun laws have been buttoned up in Australia for a long time.
That's the one thing about Australia that's unlike America.
Exactly. And then once the pandemic hit, I don't know what happened to Australia, but they became lockdown city where they really weren't letting people do anything.
Yeah.
But there's still plenty of potential to do dangerous things while you're in Australia. And this story that I found over the weekend is about this brand new park that they built out there. It's called the Boongaree Nature Play Park in Barrie, Australia. It was $4.6 million. It's been open for 8 months. But one slide in particular on this playground has caused more than 40 serious injuries, including broken collarbones. So They've had all these injuries, and then the council for this park or this whatever town this park is in, were supposed to kind of close things down, do a study, and then come out with a study and make things safe again. Well, they did that, and this woman said her name's Taylor Hall. She thought things were safe, so she took her 4-year-old daughter out there, and she ended up breaking her leg on the same slide that they said was safe all of a sudden. She said they were thrown around like a tumble dryer on this slide. I showed you a little video of a kid coming down a slide, and he was hitting his head every other way like a ping pong ball as he came down the slide.
His head was going back and forth, hitting left and then right, and the whole way down was almost... it was almost like a torture chamber.
Yeah,
right?
there's a lot less injury risk in parks these days, and really for children in general. And it reminds me of this when I was I was probably 10 or 11, playing at the Grove Hill Park, where we played all of our T-ball, baseball games. Mm-hmm. And
good memories.
A lot of firsts out there as well, you know, running around while the kids are playing, you know, first good things and first bad things. Mm-hmm. And they have batting cages right there smack in the middle of the park. My brother was having T-ball practice, I believe, or coach pitch, whatever it was. And I was out goofing off, like always, and playing with some friends in these batting cages. And we decided to play a game of baseball in the batting cage.
Okay.
So instead of staying behind the pitcher's net, the thing that blocks all of the line drives from coming back at the pitchers, I was just milling about inside the batting cage when my friend Cameron Vargas there at the time hit a line drive right in the face, hit me in the mouth and nose. I think it broke 3 of my teeth at the time.
How old were you?
Like I was 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So it smashed me up pretty good. It was my own fault for not being behind the net, but that was one of the many injuries I sustained as a kid.
Well, you played hockey, too. I mean, you were asking for it.
I was asking for it, but I just don't think kids these days are putting themselves in these dangerous situations where you end up learning a lot about yourself and a lot about life. And we have some texts I want to get to, but you said you had some dangerous moments, too.
See this house? I've pulled this picture up. Now, this was not our house, but it's basically in the style of our house.
Okay, I'm looking, yeah.
And on the side of the house, there's this bay window. Okay, it's like a part of the you know what a bay window is, y'all. It's like it comes out from the house. It's not an indention. It's the opposite. So anyway, we played wiffle ball in the backyard, and we would foul back wiffle ball, so it would end up on the roof. So I would go all the way up to the third floor. I would come out of a window that would mm-hmm. be basically there at the top of the bay window
and you'd climb out on
I'd climb out to there and then it would be like a hold on and a long step over to get to the part of the roof where the ball was.
Yeah.
And I did that dozens of times, and that was not going to be an injury. If I fell, it was over.
Yeah,
because it was three stories up there. Did it all the time. Also, there were, you know, it was crazy. I would say I started doing it when I was maybe around 10 or 11. And then also then it became routine. Now, my parents never saw me doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had, they would have lost their mind, I guess. Or my dad might have been slightly amused. Also, there was railroad trestles that went over the Delaware River. Mm. Now, this was for railroad use. So trains, it wasn't designed for civilians and certainly not kids to get from one side of the river to the other. Did it all the time.
Wow.
You could slip through easily.
Something similar I did, uncalled for, completely uncalled for.
Right.
But some trip I went on with a bunch of other knuckleheads. It was like a school-sponsored trip. So you had teachers there that were making sure no one went too crazy, but also like a lights-out time where your door had to be locked.
Yeah.
And we were staying in a hotel with connecting balconies.
Uh-oh.
I did the climb. The climb over into the girls' room next door with other people. You know, we were all getting together, but we were at least 3 stories up. Bad, bad idea at
the
time.
How old were you then?
Probably 16.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. A little older.
Yeah.
Text from Abby says, the dumbest injury I had as a child happened when I was roller skating down our driveway with a ski rope tied to my brother's bicycle. The result was a badly broken right arm. I think a lot of people did the old ski rope on the bike thing. Kids, do they still build ramps for themselves to launch themselves off? We had a Razor scooter we built ramps for that we would jump, and usually the ramps were not up to any kind of standard at all, and you'd end up smacking yourself in the shin.
I remember I was trying to construct and make some almost like the Little Rascals where you make a buggy or a car or something like that.
Yeah.
And also the other thing that was dangerous was In the wintertime when it snowed, you know, everybody had a sled, and you would go down the hill, but, you know, once you had a little rope that was kind of like a steering device, but sometimes you would freeze in the middle of, no pun intended, but you wouldn't execute it, or you'd end up going beyond everything right to the beginning of a road.
So you cross traffic.
That was a real thing.
Grant says, rolled my big red Honda three-wheeler with my little brother on it, flipped it about four times. Let's say Dad was mad. Yeah, three-wheelers are great if you want to flip the vehicle you're on. Brandon said, we used to build homemade bicycle ramps with plywood and cinder blocks and see who could jump their bikes the highest. Led to a lot of bloody knees. Kids these days don't even ride bikes anymore. I actually know a couple that don't know how to ride a bike. That's the discussion phase we're in right now in my family with the little kids. I think we're going bikes for Christmas this year. We're going to go ahead and get them some training wheels and get it rolling here.
So I'm on with Heather Healy on UTV 44. No, NBC 15, Gulf Coast Today. I guest host on Thursday. And sometimes, well, they always have these questions that are kind of like impossible questions. But, you know, anyway, the question last time I was on was, I forget exactly what it was, but it had to do with 30 or 40 years ago, this many percentage of kids did this. Mm-hmm. And now it's down to, you know, 10% or something like that, 20. My guess was riding a bike. I don't see as many kids, but it turned out to be like jump rope or something.
Okay, yeah.
But there are, I think, a lot fewer kids on bicycle. When I see somebody on a bicycle now, it's usually an adult.
Yeah.
I don't live in a neighborhood where I would see that sort of activity, but it just doesn't seem to me that kids on bikes is not as much of a thing now.
I rarely see it in my neighborhood. This unnamed texter said it was a combination of things for them, and these were all fights. Dirt clod fights.
Mm-hmm.
BB gun fights. I was in a few of those in my day. Also bottle rocket fights. Yeah, we were in a car bottle rocket fight at one point. So I was in my teens, old enough that I had friends that were able to drive.
I think you've told me the story.
I had my friend's buddy in the back seat in charge of deploying our bottle rockets, and he missed the wide open window. We had a bottle rocket
going off inside the car?
Inside the truck.
Wow.
Oh, it was fantastic. Pat said, I've done entirely too much to put on air, but I jumped off my slide into our pool when I was probably six, knocked out four front teeth.
Wow.
Spent hours searching for them. Houndstooth said, I jumped off Rabbit Creek Bridge on Rangeline when I was 16. You jumped where Metallica was painted on the bridge, and you were safe. No injuries, though. That's like the looking at the map. Like, you know, when you're over the Metallica sign, I guess you're good to jump. And Gardner says pulling a big wheel by rope at the end of a dirt bike resulted in some good times in the years.
A lot of ropes pulling something involved in those things, right?
That's right.
It's 8:48 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, and back in just a bit. 251-343-0106 if you want to call us, that's fine, or if you want to text us.
Crocodile Dundee, thank you, everybody who texted. That's the name of them. I actually watched the original again not that long ago, but things used to be different in Australia. They used to be a little harder than they are now.
8:49 with Ann and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Sounds like it'd be a good minor league team here, the Mobile Jousters. We're going to get into that with Sean Sullivan. When he showed up at our door, I'm like, there is no telling.
No,
what Sean did as a kid, I can only imagine.
Late 30s, you know, whatever.
How many streets here in Mobile have young Sullivan, you know, blood from the scraped knees or cut hands?
A lot of skin from, yeah. I remember getting some epic bike wrecks. But no, y'all were talking about this.
How about when you get a bike wreck and you're a long way from home?
Oh,
that kind of happened to me with the walk.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've got these the couple of miles of shame.
Yes.
Like you're kind of sniveling, you're kind of crying, you're bleeding all over the place, but you got to get home.
But do you wash the blood off your bike? I didn't, because then it was really cool when the Schwinn Scrambler had some blood on it. You could tell a story to your boys.
That's cool.
No, we just, you know, we talk about the kids. Oh, the kids are playing like Grand Theft Auto, and therefore they're going to go rob people. I don't believe that's true. I don't think it's a great influence, but we watched one too many, like, King Arthur medieval things when we were kids.
Yeah.
So here we were in my friend's neighborhood, and football helmets with football shoulder pads, no jersey on, T-shirt underneath, long dowel rods that you use for closets. You can get the full-length 12-foot dowel rods.
Oh, yeah.
Tennis balls on the end of them, cut, and then tape over it, and then a little hand guard we made. And we would ride at each other with our bicycles, full speed,
wow,
and joust and knock each other off the bicycles. Because we had seen too many night movies, that's what they were doing. So, yes, we would ride it and joust, and you'd have a football helmet on and your pads. I don't know if we wore the knee things or not, but we would knock each other clean off a bicycle. And then,
you don't see kids jousting these days.
Let me tell you something.
It's a loss here where the kids aren't jousting.
That is so much more brilliant than trying to get a wiffle ball off the roof of my house. You put time and effort and thought into that. And again, we had a study today about thinking. What was it, Dalton? That
thinking burns a lot of calories.
Burns a lot of calories. Yeah. And my contention.
What's my excuse anymore? I must have gotten
stupid. That's right. It's like thinking is harder for me on most any subject. So I'm burning a lot of. I'm tired a lot. But going to this, I mean, doing the pads and the helmet and the jousting. Wow.
Yeah, lots of thought into that.
Well, I mean, if we could have found some chainmail and plate armor and stuff like that, we're short on that. We did have the old Rydell helmets that are, or whatever our youth football stuff was.
Oh, we've got so many texts of the dumb things you all did over the years as kids. This texter said, does anyone remember swimming and jumping off the train trestles over Halls Mill Creek and playing chicken with trains? That's one thing I never did, was play chicken with the train. Know how that generally
works. We had train yards right behind our house. In between our house and the Delaware River, there was a series of trains. And I remember a kid came over to my house, and he said, my mom, she said, by the way, we're not allowed to go back to where the trains are. I'm like, that was the entire plan, man. Are you kidding me?
We don't need the only thing we did with trains is put the coins on the track.
Yeah, get to flatten the
coins. Yeah. So, we didn't play chicken with them.
Well, I'll leave you with what Bruce did. He said, he's from Macintosh. When I was around 12 years old, I was watching guys jump out of airplanes. So I get a big garbage bag and some string and tie it to me and go on top of the house and jump off. I thought I was going to glide. That did not work. Lots of people tried the whole flying thing out as kids and found that, in that 12-foot drop from the first story, that they aren't quite Superman, not able to pull it together.
And by the way, so it was just recently when I stopped going up on my roof to do any kind of sweeping or whatever, Now, I don't have that roof in my life anymore anyway. Right. But it was, I was used to doing stuff like that, and I wasn't crazy about being up there, but
I'm at that point now. I had this discussion with Danny Litford when he was on the show. I said, I just turned 50, and I said, I'm actually starting to have second thoughts. So I've been on roofs forever, even at our old house that had it pitched like some kind of Swiss chalet.
I know.
And I'm up there cleaning gutters out and get the leaves lay on the roof. But I'm starting to think about it a little more, that getting up and getting down off there. And I'm usually doing it when I'm by myself. I don't want to be a Life Alert commercial.
Look, I hurt myself walking over the weekend. So obviously I'm lacking.
Stay off the roof.
I'm lacking the nimble mobility that I used to have.
Nimble.
Nimble. Yeah. I was nimble at one time.
You were going to look like Chevy Chase next time you try to get up there on a roof.
It's 8:59. Thanks for the text on all that. That was a lot of fun, y'all. Jeff Poore's on the way next.
Yeah, you'll have Michael Hoyt with the Baldwin County GOP. Also, Dale Jackson, former Congressman Parker Griffith, and Rob Holbert with Lanyap on Jeff Poore's show today.